Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. until midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Louie, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m., join us with Keeping It Brief. And later that night, Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays, a split between Inner Craft, a Song Art with Rich and Neutron, and Double Helix with Thasiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturdays are split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and exploring Ekphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesdays. Join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliner's Ball on Thursdays. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Saturday, join Ephasiana and Babla as they teach the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems. Drop us a SoundCloud. And come hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How you doing?
Well, hello, Rex. Well, I'm doing pretty good now. I mean, I got past the jet lag of it all, and Doing well. Doing well. How are you this fine Sunday? Good. I love that intro you do. I wish I could be so regimented as to do that, you know. Very, very nicely done. It tells people exactly what they need to know. So that's always wonderful. And just so you know, Rex, we have two callers, right?
Oh.
First off, we have Pam. So hello, Pam, and welcome to the party. You're a little late.
Glad to be here.
Show started at 8:30. Show started at 8:30. I don't know where you been.
Hey, Rex.
And then we have Felon on the line. So hello, Felon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. I said even to Santa Claus since we're doing Christmas music. Hello, hello.
That was a little bit different tune.
It's cold down here in Georgia. Oh, my gosh, it's freezing.
Yeah, it's a little cold up this way, too, so I understand it.
Southern girl ain't used to this.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly here, too. It's not horrendous, but it's pretty chilly.
I bet it's snowing where Pam's at.
If not, it will be soon. She's had
we have a light covering of snow, so it's not too bad. But I did wake up this morning, and it was 19 freaking degrees outside. Which
okay, I'll shut up now.
Blanket of disposition of winter rolling in says, kiss my ass. I'm here.
Well, they can just bend over and kiss it on the brown spot because I don't want it.
Pam has already had her 2 days of spring, her 2 days of summer, and her 2 days of fall. The rest of it is all winter. She's got about 350 some days left until it gets back.
Where
does
Robbie live at 10 below?
Yeah.
Well. So I always think cold is relative. Like, you know, when I used to live in Texas, you know, and we get those hotter days, during the summer, you know, like the 40s would feel really cold. So, you know, I always feel like temperature is sometimes a lot like time. It's relative to what you're used to.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Because you can adjust. It's like when you go from winter to spring around here, it's kind of like, wow, it's pretty warm out here today, you know, or vice versa. You know, you get to go through these changes, and it's like, wow, really? Summertime, it can be pretty, what we call pretty warm here, but it's nothing compared to so many other places. But we have that humidity that kind of makes it nice here. But, yeah, it's all about how you feel about it and how you deal with it personally. Anyway, I'm going to be quiet now. Interesting choice tonight, Rex. Tell us all about it. Tell us what brought you there.
Well, it is an offbeat tune. It was written by Robert Hunter, and it was his first, the very first song he wrote for the Grateful Dead. Him and Jerry Garcia back in the day used to play acoustic music, but he moved to New Mexico, and Jerry formed a band with some of his other mates in 65, and they were experimenting with music, folk, jazz, blues, a mishmash of everything. And they were playing a lot of cover songs, and they were doing the circuit back then, what was known as the acid tests, where they go to the acid parties because Timothy Leary was running up and down the coast. And, they'd get into a musical improv, and that's kind of the basis of where they formed the angle of their music. Anyway, Hunter heard about Jerry forming of all things a rock and roll band, considering their beginnings in 67. So he sent him some experiments, since he had some lyrics, since he had was experimenting with writing, and Jerry, they formed a couple of songs later down the line for them, and Jerry asked them to come back. So they came back. They were down in Rio Nido, California, and Jerry and the boys were playing a melody tune, which kind of struck Hunter in the moment. He wrote that very first stanza while they were playing. You gave them the lyrics, and they said, well, hey, they liked it, fit the music, give us more. So they moved, and they went back up to San Francisco. He was still having a little bit of trouble with the lyrics, so he went out to Golden Gate Park, and he sat down with some paper and started writing the second verse. And some hippie walked up to him, handed him a joint, and he started smoking. He said, what are you doing? Well, I'm writing some lyrics for a song. And between that and the inspiration from T.S. Eliot's The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, he wrote the second stanza. They first recorded it in 67, first played it live in 68, and they often extended it as a 20-minute improv. So if you thought the back end of that was a little bit wild, you ought to get into and listen to a 20-minute version of Dark Star. It's something you'll enjoy.
Very cool. Very cool. I had not heard this song at all before. Which is nothing unusual, really, when you think about it. But it was intriguing, I have to say. It wasn't what I'm used to hearing from the Grateful Dead. You know, it just didn't have that same ring to it. Although there were similarities, not enough that I would have said, oh, that's the Grateful Dead playing that. You know, but a great song.
That background almost had a quality of listening to the stars fall from the night sky, that twinkling in the background.
Yeah, that's something. But yeah, that was a great choice. I'm intrigued by what poetry we got from it. So definitely ready whenever you are.
Show up. Let's go ahead and kick it all off.
They're all buzzing in the room. Robbie.
I don't know. I think Robbie's, I don't know, smoking with the dead heads or something, because he's got something going on.
Well, here's one for you, Robbie. Frank Zappa named his kids Moon Unit and Dweezil.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Hey, Rex.
Yes.
Tell Robbie I'll take him somewhere, but he'd be in the corner sucking his thumb, hollering for his mama when I got done, for sure. I'm just playing, Robbie. I'm just playing. Sorry. I'm in a giddy kind of mood tonight, so ha, ha, ha. Y'all in for a treat.
Ooh, you sound like you're in rare form tonight.
I am. I'm feeling very good today.
Excellent.
So watch out.
Sounds like we're going to have fun, Gene.
I don't know. I got the whipping chair ready. You know, just so we keep everything under control.
Yes, the lion came off.
Yep. Well, yeah.
All right, then. Let's go play the best one.
Okay. The first piece I'm going to put up, right, I'm going to have you read, is by Myriad Dark. I haven't heard Myriad Dark in a while, so it would be nice to get a little bit of that flavor going on. So whenever you're ready, sir.
The Midnight Hour by Myriad Dark. There's got to be another way to disappear, said the magician to the clown. Juggling timelines never appeals when you turn them upside down. Politicians, they waste my time. The whole thing is a curse. Anyone can spin a tale to cover each sin for what it's worth. There's no need to blow out cover, the clown said as he smiled. Life is more an orbital gyre where the grass grows wild. We speak of things beyond belief, then leave it up to fate. But talk like that is heresy. Now the hour is growing late. We kept watching the midnight hour and stopped to admire the view as the ladies of the night came and went, dancing naked and barefoot too. Outside, the music held us in sway. Their colors pulsated and glowed. The night rider rode out before dawn as the farmer hitched up his plow. And poem. And Belle, why don't we kick it with you first?
To me, this reminds me of something to do with Woodstock. How everybody was protesting and, and then coming to the field and, you know, basically setting ahead of, like, a concert there, and then the fields were plowed the next day by the farmer. This is what I gather from it. This is like a take on the time of Woodstock. I mean, I might be totally off, but that's what I get, and if it's so groovy, I love it.
Thank you, pal. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a great write. I like how it fits well with the prompt, and yet at the same time is a takeoff of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower. I really thought it spoke really well on the idea of trying to escape a political system that insists on controlling people. I also like how it talks about the idea of reaching for the music of the stars. I really like, there's no need to blow our cover, the clown said as he smiled. Life is more an orbital gyre where the grass grows wild. We speak of things beyond belief and leave it up to, but talk like that is heresy. Now the hour is growing late. It's that idea of people don't want people to have rebellious spirits. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I don't know. Am I on mute? No, I'm not on mute. Okay, good. I thought this was a wonderful write by Myriad. And it's been so long since I heard his poetry. It's kind of like, wow, really? Awesome, awesome. But I absolutely loved his first couple lines just leading into this as he pulled, you know, from the Watchtower. It was great. I thought that really just, it drew you in and it led you, you know, led you right into the piece. And I thought it was just really, really well done. Excellent. I should say interesting take on the prompt, because this, of course, leads me to a whole different song. But nicely penned. And thank you, Myriad, very much for sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to thank you, Jean. I got to go with Fels thinking on the kind of Woodstock, because it drew me in as it did with you with All Along the Watchtower, but it also drew me in with I'd Love to Change the World by 10 Years After with that fourth stanza. We speak of things beyond belief, then leave it up to fate. But talk like that is heresy. Now the hour is growing late, and there's a bit in 10 Years After song, I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I leave it up to you. There's that congruent nature of wanting to change, but not putting the foot down to actually make the change, so you therefore leave it up to those people, those politicians that waste our time to begin with. So in essence, you've ceded yourself to them and given up that much of the freedom that you know you have in the first place, and if you actually took it seriously, would mean something more than just the thought of change as a principle rather than something that you can actually do. Whereas those last two stanzas, we kept watching the midnight hour and stopped to admire the view as the ladies of the night came and went, dancing naked and barefoot too. Outside the music held some sway, their colors pulsated and glowed. The night rider rode out before dawn as the farmer hitched up his plow. There's that notion within that last, it's kind of it hits on the idea of abandoning that thought before the sun comes up, because you're moving on to the next location, so to speak. And even though you're moving on, that which sits within that arena still gets up to work the next day and does what he needs to do to survive. So, nicely done, Myriad. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Okie dokie. Doggy. Okay. God, I got to pick faster. You guys are killing me. My fingers don't work that fast. Let me see what I have. The next piece I'm going to put up. I'm going to read, and this is Dark Star by Damn It Dave. Damn It Dave? Only kidding, you know why I did. That's always. Let me see now. Dark Star by Damn It Dave. The turkey, by the way. When the ashes cool, the phoenix cannot rise, and her embers have long since lost their glow. She hides her face in an ocean of starlight, for she is at one with the darkness, by the loneliness and kissed by the whispers of the void. The twinkling stars may tease, but Mother Universe understands, though Father Time has not been kind. Sometimes black hole is not a metaphor, and light does not equal love. She closes in upon herself, but she does not envy, nor does she seek pity. She is what she is, and she remembers sweet yesterdays, when her light once rivaled the sun. And for a brief moment, she smiles, then finds her solace in eternal sleep. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Pam, we're going to kick it with you first.
All right. Well, this is beautifully written. I really like the imagery in this and the mention of Mother Universe and Father Time. And I like how, to me, the main theme that it speaks on is aging and the change that comes with aging. But there's more than that. It also speaks on the idea to me of a woman who has been changed forever due to the difficult experiences that she's gone through in life. And I really liked it all the way through, but it was that fourth, fifth, and sixth stanza that really spoke the most to me. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Phil, how about you?
What really stood out to me the most is where did it go? Oh, man, I just had it right in my face. Okay, she hides her face in an ocean of starlight, for she is at one with darkness. To me, that is basically for each day that when the sun sets, sometimes especially if it's in, you know, around an ocean or something, it does fade into the water and it drowns and it never sees daylight again and never even breathes another day. But it does offer another day, and that's what I think this is. You know, you can't take pity, you can't take envy in something that you already had and someone else has now, because they too will be where you are. But just, you know, find you can actually find something in the light that you are in now, because we all will meet a different light along the way, and some of us meet it a lot sooner than others, you can see. But and then for a brief moment she smiles and finds solace in eternal sleep. And that's basically at the end of the day, we all live, we all breathe, we all live, and then we all die. And it's just don't take for granted what we have today. And even if it's just less than it was yesterday. Excellent, right?
Wonderful take on that there, Phil. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I read this and I say, well, she has come to, the end of her days. I wouldn't say her autumn, because this is more, you know, closing in on winter. But a wonderful take on that, on the given prompt, really. Great lines throughout, as always. Great rhyme and flow. But these are the lines that really got me. I love the ending of this, because this is where it all kind of pulled together for me. She is what she is, and she remembers yesterdays when her light once rivaled the sun. And for a brief moment, she smiles, then finds her solace in eternal sleep. You know, she went through all of the things that she went through, but then it comes down to her her remembering all those wonderful things before she kind of, you know, calls it quits. Like, you know, she just closed her eyes and faded out. You know, as things do, everything, stars, everything. Eventually, everything has that change. And I think it was just beautifully done. I just do. I thought that it was very gracefully worded. I'll put it that way. But nice work, Dave, and thanks for sharing.
Excellent. You've all hit on some great thoughts with this piece. I don't disagree with anything that you've offered up. There's a noted thought of knowing who she is within this universe, so to speak, and has that understanding that even with the spirit of youth and the passage of time, she understands and comprehends all things have their time and space. And she's content in all that she's done. And that is where the back ending of this, she smiles and finds her solace in eternal sleep. There's an understanding of knowing her days have been both fruitful and fire breathing, and she's not taking with her any regrets for all that it may have transpired, because like Felon says, she has enjoyed those moments in the sun and watched the that sun settle into the ocean to die each night and yet to be reborn again the next day, understanding it is about the day, that particular day, not the ones tomorrow or the ones yesterday's, just those smiles of what happens in yesterday's that you take along with you as you walk this very ample scene. Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. We're back to you.
Yeah. I'm looking. Let me see. I think I have one for Pam. Okay, Pam, this next one I have for you. So
All right. A Sweet Tumble into the Dark Lady's Embrace by Colap. Force of gravity, whip, twirl, and whirl into an onyx curl, whirlpool trying to hover us into its abyssal vortex. Our hands and fingers clasped tight, locked, let us hover and float in a rendezvous above that hole. Shall we go, you and I, while we can, through the transitive nightfall of diamonds, lift our shards and crusted foreheads up, gaze at the black tapestry of constellations of gems, precious stones hewn, strung together by the hands of eternity, our gossamer cape billowing in space and transcendence, we utter an au revoir and arrivederci. Shall we go, you and I, while we can, through the transitive nightfall of diamonds and poem?
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get the first tackle.
Okay, well, I think that this was just a wonderful poem by Colap. Forces of gravity whip, twirl, and whirl into an onyx curl, whirlpool, trying to hoover us into its abyssal vortex. She starts out with that, and you're like, wow, where are we going? But just fabulous. And I love the two lines she chose to use from the song, the prompt, to highlight out what she was talking about. And I think that she did a wonderful job with that. So, Colap, I have to say, great job with this piece and a wonderful write.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Bell, come on in. What you got?
To me, what really stuck out the most is where it says, lift our shards and crested foreheads up a gaze at the black tapestry of constellations of gems. It's basically the blessings that we have before us. We are all blessed to have the gem of life that, you know, this is what we've been given, this beautiful thing. And it we all shine within ourselves. And, you know, we all add something to the universe, and even if it's just a snippet of a glimmering light, we should never take it for granted. And then where she states this, precious stone hewn strung together by the hands of eternity, and that is true. We are all strung by the hands of eternity, because, you know, we will live and we will die, but you know what? It will continue until God tells us we're not, until He says no more. But at the same time, we were all still going to make this one big diamond at the end. So I think this is just absolutely stunning work.
Nice. Thank you, Phil. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
You know, this kind of has the whole vibe of getting high, laying down in the back of a pickup truck and looking up at the night sky. I really enjoyed this. It has a wonderful flow of imagery. I like how she used her stanzas to be an answer to the lines that, as Phil said, she chose to put in from the song. You know, I really thought this was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it gave to me the idea of traveling into the music of the universe and the idea of dancing in the mind. I really did like that, our hands and fingers clasped tight, locked, let us hover and float in a rendezvous above that hole. Wonderful choice of phrasing and very well done.
Thank you, everybody. I too like the fact that she used those two lines out of the song itself And it's funny because even to this, well, up until one of his last interviews, Hunter said he still doesn't know what that actually means or what he meant by it. It was just a line that came out of him, and it fit the motif that he'd already written to through the transited Nightfall of Diamonds. But that opening stanza hits on that idea of life itself being sometimes being that black hole, and that second stanza hits on that thought of not getting sucked into it, but by standing off to the edge of that event horizon. So you, instead of being sucked into it, you can actually enjoy the beauty of life. Like the thought of it in that lift our shards encrusted head foreheads up and gaze at the black tapestry of constellations of gems, precious stones hewn, strung together by the hands of eternity. And our gossamer cape offers up that note of actually taking that trip itself, as Pam put it, lying in the back of a pickup truck and donning that cape of night and walking within the stars. It also hits on that notion of that once you die, you do die physically, but that notion of the electrical impulses that are a part of us actually move on. And you could also call it that notion of the soul itself, but those electrical impulses, they keep going. They keep flying, and we move throughout the universe. All right, Jean, we're back on you. Dogpile on the rabbit.
Yeah. Okay, so I have the next one up for you. This is by Julie Buck, called Black Diamond Balcony. So whenever you're ready.
Girl, thank you, yes. This is by Julie Buck, and it's called Black Diamond Balcony. I have an avant-garde lover kept from the softest of sable, and a fictitious silk of clings to my curves like a warm virtue of a willy woman on a willy woman. I have sublime balcony, bejeweled in black diamonds, and I am the manic myth in his legend. Like graphic graffiti on ghetto walls, I have a puzzle of problematic people and a labyrinth of mysticism of which I often get lost within, when always I knew I never should have lingered as long as I did. End point.
Gregory Bell, thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, this is just wonderful. I really like the surrealism feel to it. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I particularly like the lines, and I am the manic myth in his legend, like graphic graffiti on ghetto walls. I like the whole idea. It's finding that person that fits you like a dress, which is why the first part works so well. I have an avant-garde lover cut from the softest of sable. There's just something very magical about these lines and the idea of finding that the beauty in the worn down back alley graffiti of a person. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I thought this write was fabulous. Something about it just really, I had a wonderful tone in my ear, I guess I could say. You know, I have an avant-garde lover cut from the softest of sable, and fictitious silk that clings to my curves, like warm virtue on wily woman. And the next stanza is just as good, and the third stanza is just as good. So I think that this was just a great piece all the way around in my mind by Julie. And, Julie, this was great. Something about it I found really stunning, so excellent job. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt. You know, the second stanza really reflected my thoughts on the song prompt, you know, with I have a sublime balcony, bejeweled in black diamonds, and I am the manic myth in his legend, like graphic graffiti on ghetto walls. Something about that just really suited the song to me. So excellent piece, and thanks for sharing.
Okay. Thank you, Jean. And Phil, you got to read. How about you?
Ha ha! I love this. Basically, she, you know, her entourage lover is basically someone that is picks. You can. He's not. He's in a complete meal. He's just like, I'll take a little of this, and I'll take a little of that, and a little of this. You know, and she's this, she thinks she's this silk that that clings to her curves when you get. She's probably satin. It's got a lot of static in it. She's really not like everything she thought. She's not that fabric that's so great and so you know, elegant. But yet, you know, she's a virtue of a wily woman. Basically, she thinks she is just, she has the patience of this and that she is worth waiting for and that she has skill that's above anyone else. And then it goes into, I have a sublime balcony. She's still being a little on herself being, you know, boosting herself up. But yet it starts to, that little jewel starts to blacken as you go further down. You know, in the manic myth of in his language, she's basically putting him down, but yet like graphic graffiti on ghetto walls. It might be pretty, and it takes talent to do it, but it still don't mean it should be done. And I have a puzzle of problematic people, and the leverage, basically she's saying, wait a minute. She picks up the wrong guy every single time, and she is basically being played, and she's basically being seen as a fool, which she often gets lost within, and she goes, man, I know I shouldn't have lingered that man long. I'm a fool again. So next. That's excellent right, though.
Nice touch there, Paul. I like that. That offering in that I have a puzzle of problematic people, a labyrinth of mysticism of which I often got lost within, kind of like getting lost in one's own mythos to the point where you know you should have already walked away, but you linger in a little bit too long and you get burned in the aftermath. Nicely said. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Well, I'm coming back to you. I'm going to put this piece up for you. It's called Inner Sight Glass by Captain Kirk. Whenever you're ready.
Inner Sight Glass by Captain Kirk. Crescendos of morning breeze lightly dance around her face. In a shot glass of amber-scented breath, I see the equinox of flaming stars collapse within themselves. Strands of chestnut hair spill over satin cheeks. In a shot glass of amber-scented breath, I see the even tide of love fall just beyond my reach. My shattered fingers swell, puffed like a pillow down. In a shot glass of amber-scented breath, I see her sutured eyes buried deep below the ground. The beak of the hummingbird feeds from perfume tips. In a shot glass of amber-scented breath, I fold her the feathered wings and spread her honeyed lips. I see the beveled panes of the stained glass window miss. In a shot glass of amber-scented breath, I see the solstice crash while I forage for her gifts. And home.
Huh.
So, Lynn, why don't you step on up and give us a hint? What do you think?
Oh, let me just tell you. It has, to me, it's got a lot of haunters in it, but what really stands out the most is where he states this, in a shot glass of amber-scented breath. And it leads to this, to this, to this. Even though he states that her eyes are, you know, sutured down, I think it's something that his drinking took from him. He had all these things just at his fingertips, but yet he just couldn't put that shot down. And it kept on and on and on to the point of, you know, he's basically at his own funeral or wherever he's at because I see solace crash while forged for her kiss. He'll never get it because time's been cut too short. You can't put the shot glass down. So that's what I gather from it.
Excellent. Thank you, Phil. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. It has a wonderful lyrical quality to it. I'm pretty sure it's a specific form, though I can't remember which one, but the repetition of the lines makes me think that. And I do like how this does have that repetition that works so well. And it really spoke to me on the idea of how love can be lost to addiction, to alcoholism, and how addiction can become this like possessive mistress who won't share you with anybody else. I really like my shattered fingers swell, puff like pillow down in a shot glass of amber-scented breath. I see her sutured eyes buried deep below the ground. It almost this idea of death. Powerful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Angie, how about you?
You know, I thought this was really well thought out in a lot of ways. Yeah, first of all, I like the image that you put with the piece, you know, faults in the clouds of illusion. That was pretty telling there. And I thought that he really did pull in a lot from the prompt. Crescendos of morning breeze lightly dance around her face in a shot glass of amber-scented death, her breath. I see the equinox of flaming stars collapse within themselves near the death of a star. And I think that really this is, I think I agree with Pam, you know, there's that death element here. It's the saying goodbye, the end of something, you know, that was wonderful, I think. Whether it's, you know, the amber-scented breath, you know, yeah, it's alcoholism is what I see, you know, but there's a longing and a loss and a pain in this that I'm getting. So excellent piece, and thank you for sharing, Captain Kerr. Really well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jean. It is a stellar thought. Mm-hmm. And I, too, like the thought of in a shot glass of amber-scented breath. Now, it can be drawn on the thought of alcoholism, but I actually tunnel vision in a shot glass of, glass of amber-scented breath, looking through rose-tinted glasses, a singular view. And each time he offers up that singular view, things dematerialize, seeing the equinox of flaming stars, yet they collapse within themselves. And I see the even tide of love fall just beyond his reach. It's all because that he's so sitting in the thought of tunnel vision that he's not viewing the whole picture itself. So each time he dips within that notion, something else befalls him. And it offers up that second to last stanza, walks in very sensual nature. The beak of the hummingbird feeds from perfume dips in a shot glass of amber-scented breath. I fold her feathered wings and spread her honeyed lips. And then again, a little bit more of the last one. I see the beveled panes of a stained glass window mist in a shot glass of amber-scented breath. I see the solstice crash while I forage for kids. Again, that notation to something going awry. That stained glass window offers up a note to churches. So maybe got left at the altar, so to speak. Thank you, Kat. All right there, Jean. We're coming up back to you.
Okay, dokie. Well, let me see now. I'm going to put one up by Eric Svensson, because I have his audio. And put that there for you guys to enjoy. And here we go. Let me hit the button. Oh, we have a caller, too, by the way. Let me answer the phone.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Dex, is that you?
It is. Glad I could make
Dex.
It for Logan.
Now you
do it. Welcome aboard.
Awesome. Glad I could be here.
Well, it's good to have you hanging around, Dex, always. I'm going to hit the button for Eric's piece, so here we go.
Refute, refire, reboot. Quirky quasar quarry. Holographic universe doesn't worry. Music of the spheres surround sound. Imprisons us in its convoluted hall of mirrors. Chorus line top hats and tails tap dance. Our thoughts, words, and deeds ricochet back. Thistle sharp tacks on love's leathery skin. Life bounces off particles. Dust merged drift, shift, shape. Lilt and tilt outside inner space. Filigree thought patterns, needlepoint embroidered. Gold space foil to ward off alien intervention or plug up the defeated ozone layer. Biggest, fattest Cullinan diamond discovered in South Africa adorned late Queen Lizzie's crown. Incidental black hole dark swallowed. Inconsequential blood moon albatross labors across desert landscape. Constant concave cerebral cave vexes over its own reality. Voids and vacuums abound. Coy celebrity dance echoes back singularity of sound and substance. Chorus line top hats and tails wrap. Flame-grilled dark stars, mythical meteors, majestic fall from grace, we created thus by our words and deeds, we jinxed a miraculous mystical journey, to be Daniel incinerated by a flame-grilled hall of mirrors, veneration's veneer. Space shuttle explodes each time it enters Earth's atmosphere. Cosmonaut, astronaut, or juggernaut, holds courtier Elon Musk. South African born, you have diamonds on the soles of their feet. Illusions fog disperses. Blood moon's aim is to explode. Dark star structures stay dead and redundant. Am I a structural human and implanted, encoded, multiverse being? Will imminent ascension activation release me out of this flame-grilled hall of mirrors? Meanwhile, a dark star enjoys this jitterbug, chorus line, top hat and tails line dance. Chips of Tutankhamun's old pyramid block, lock, stock and barrel. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the soundcraft. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, since you're the new one in, what do you think?
Well, one of my favorite poets on here. I love Eric's work. I feel like this is really going back and forth and questioning whether or not you get in what you put out, or kind of almost in a sense karma. But I think more along the lines, you get in what you put out. You know, there's parts you're talking about, deeds ricochet back. And then he goes into talking about, where is it here? Queens, you know, getting the diamonds in South Africa, they obviously aren't the ones that are deserving of that. And so what happens to them? And, I think that the point that he comes to towards the end is that there might be some delayed reactions, but overall, I think that he believes that you get in what you put out. I could be wrong about this. This is a very deep poem, and this is my first time reading this, but that's what I believed.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dex. You got some noted points in there. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. You just know somebody has fun with words when their first line is quirky quasar query. I love the alliteration and imagery in this. I really like what Dexter had to say. It's a very thought-provoking write that speaks on the idea of the mythical journey of the human condition. I especially liked flame-grilled dark stars, mythical meteors, majestic fall from grace, we create thus by our words and deeds. We jinx the miraculous mystical journey. I like the reference to Daniel. To be Daniel incinerated by a flame-grilled hall of mirrors. That idea speaks really well on how we can get caught up in ourselves and how we feel like, not we as in like every one of us, but there are people out there who feel like they are the center of the universe and need to be drawn back into the reality that the universe is so much more than just them. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Phil, how about you?
Let me get off of mute and I will say something. Now, just to me, basically, what I like about his poetry is the fact that he will put things in layers in order to build up to that last conclusion or that last part that he's trying to hammer home. And that's what he's done here is the holographic universe that doesn't worry. You know, we are something that is transposed in layers as a whole, as Earth. And then, you know, the imprisons that is into the convoluted halls of mirrors. And then he basically said, you know, you can come in there and, you know, with top hat and dancing, whatever you want to do, but you know what? What you say can ricochet back on you. And those of us tax with the leathery lips, have leathery skin, will be able to take on whatever's being thrown at them or whatever they do to others, and it comes back on them. They can take it, and that's how they proceed in life and actually succeed. But I also, like what Dexter said too, as well as the diamonds, and that, you know, here it is. The Venetians are basically, they're saying that these saints are the people that are royalty or whatever, and it's not. It's those little souls that go in there to get this little piece of, you know, mineral for these people to wear, to be encrusted upon them, like they're just so great and greater than anybody else. When, you know what, they took the first breath in life just like we did. They're no better, and they put their pants on one leg at a time as well. No one's any better than anybody. Some people offer a little more, but other ones offer a whole lot more in wealth and as a person in spirituality. But it, as it goes on, that's what it just builds up to, and then to the Elon Musk and the spaceship. I think that has to do with basically, you know, who's that last one up in space? Jeff Bezos, you know, he spent all that money to go in space for what? He didn't get to really go as far as he said he did, and so he didn't really go in space. So that's what I think he's saying. And then as far as, you know, Elon Musk is getting this bad rap on doing things that he does, and yet at the same time, his poor practices are basically bouncing back on him, and Twitter's not doing so well either. So I think this is just a great implication of how life starts, like back when, before we had the laws that we have and the technology. And it goes forward, so I think it's just an excellent ride as always.
Hi, Sol. Thank you. And Jean, how about you? Before you give up your whole comment to mute, maybe you should unmute.
Oh, sorry, I unfinished my comment. You missed it. You were slow tonight. Oh, my gosh. No, I'm only kidding. Wonderful. I thought it was a wonderful write by Eric, and I thought it was an awesome take on the song prompt. Great reflection of thoughts throughout. This stanza here, flame-grown dark stars, mythical meteors, majestic fall from grace. We created dust by our words and deeds. We jinxed a miraculous mystical journey to be Daniel's incinerated by the flame-grilled hall of mirrors. Generations of the near space shuttle explodes each time it enters Earth's atmosphere. I think that really carried some of the imagery in the lyrics themselves. Completely different, you know, as for the way it's put together, but definitely related and mirrored in a good way. And I thought he did a great job with a share.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And Dex, Phil, you're right about the layered thought within this, because it opens up with that holographic universe. And they've been positing that sort of us living within a matrix world, bent on another world that transcends us to the next level. So that's kind of a nice touch in here, too. And I like that sort of the convoluted hall of mirrors. That's which we present ourselves as. Then he tossed in some stuff that actually walks within the fold itself. Gold space fold to ward off alien intervention. or plug up the depleted ozone layer. I like the thought with the Cullinan diamond found in Africa in 1905. That thing was over 3,000 carats, which is 1.3 pounds of crystallized rock originally. And it went unsold in London for 2 years in 1905. And it was picked up by the Prime Minister of South Africa, who then presented it to Edward VII. So that's how it ended up as Queen Elizabeth's crowning jewel, so to speak, because it's a monster of a stone. Now, the mythical meteors, flame grills, dark stars, mythical meteors, majestic fall from grace, we created thus by our words and deeds, we jinxed the miraculous mystical journey. There is that note of the rise and fall of those high and mighty people who walk themselves on different planes of existence. And the blood moon's aim is to implode dark star structures, stayed dead and redundant. Am I a structural human, an implanted and encoded universe being? There is that thought there to of how the next step in our supposed generation is to actually have implants and be hooked up permanently to the web, as it were, so that we're always in one matrix or another. So you've got quite a bit in it.
Come on.
Nicely done there, Eric. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
I'm too busy fighting.
I like that, Duke. nobody has ever heard more insight than the mute monster.
And I don't use mute, and then I have to yell at my grandson. See how it works around here? I can't win. But it's okay. Let me see. Okay, Dex, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. And this one is by Jag25.
All right, this is Nighttime Whimsy by Jag325. On a loom, we weave golden dreams. Watch them crash into molten sea. The night dissolves into dark ashes. Shadow thoughts cannot break free. Diamond skies take heaven hostage. Cold mirrors capture trembling face. Glass shattered with abject disbelief. Daylight chases night back to space. There's no reason that really rhymes. Only magic beanstalks that we climb. Yellow moons made of green cheese. Wise men's whimsy turns on a dime. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Belle, why don't we kick it with you first?
I like this. This is it's kind of whimsical at the same time, and it's almost like, it's almost like a Van Gogh piece in a way. It's a little abstract, but at the same time, it does give you an image to something to leave you as a wonder and it's like, oh, okay. Because what I really like here is where it says, diamond skies take heaven hostage. Cold mirror captures trembling face. Glass shattered with abject disbelief. Daylight chases night back to space. I like that because basically, daylight chases night back to space. Putting it back out there, but yet at the same time, it's a constant chaser. It's like cat and mouse running around and around, that goose. But that's what it reminds me of. It's very whimsical. It's kind of got a nursery rhyme to it, and it's got the abstract of Van Gogh. Excellent, right there.
Nice. Thank you. Well, Jean, how about you? Mute monster.
Here we go again. I know. Yes, I did find this to be, and I took this from his thoughts at the bottom. He's a dark whimsy, and it is a great whimsical kind of piece. There's great imagery in this. The diamond skies take heaven. Oh, wait. Gosh, wait, I'm going to make it huge. Diamond skies take heaven hostage. Cold mirror catches trembling face. Glass shatters with abject disbelief. daylight chases night back to space. I think it was a great take on the prompt. And if, I mean, I don't see any mention of the prompt at the bottom, so if he wrote this for something else, he did a hell of a fine job just slipping it in there, you know. So, but it really was well done, and I enjoyed it. It was nice brevity.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how mm-hmm. about you?
She said she'd be right back.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Dex, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I thought this was a very thought-provoking piece had great rhyme to it, had great form to it. The overall thought behind it is kind of almost questioning the deep down. You know, the Egyptians were really big into the night, into the day, and that is kind of carried on traditionally throughout time. And I feel like it's almost kind of questioning whether or not it's a bad thing. You know, like night is a bad thing. That's the way I kind of take it. You know, because it's both really necessary parts of life. This is a very interesting poem, and I thought it was done very skillfully.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Yeah, I like your thoughts in there about the whimsy angle, and it does hit on that, the thought of what you mentioned with the birth of day and night and how it challenges us and how we perceive it. It also hits on that, on the idea of those golden dreams one rolls into, that they don't look at what might happen if it doesn't work out. So you get that that glass shattered with abject disbelief, because you weren't being perceptive, and you might have the dream itself. But you got to realize sometimes dreams don't materialize for one reason or another. But then again, when they do shatter, it actually darkens the soul, so to speak. And then the back end of this, there's no reason that really rhymes, only magic beanstalks that we climb. Yellow moons made of green cheese, wise man's whimsy turns on a dime. The thought with that last bit, the wise man's whimsy, is be careful what you wish for, because wishes don't always come true. And sometimes they swallow you whole because you spend too much time evolving that dream to begin with. And a wise man knows the difference between what is possible and what might be possible. So, nicely done there, Jack. Thank you very much. Pam, are you back yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm
going to back it to you, Gene.
Thank you. Damn that Eugene. Yeah. Welcome back, Pam. It's too late. I put up the next phone. Okay. I'm going to put this piece by Jim Bellamy, and I'm going to give it a read. So bear with me while I make everything bigger. As you know, it's rough in my world. This Century Street by Jim Bellamy. This Century Street, this guide to blandness scoured, how now reflects the promise of an hour, and, like reflections, pushes out all grapes, till favor shows within an empty city lake. But equally, each trend is scarred within, each thunderclap of Musak shakes springs. Now down the deviled nucleus of flowers, there flows of brevelt towers, odd-headed nonsense riven in the scape of jaded parents set in one, warden grapes, and never, ever traded but inside the styles of wicked women fading to red smiles. So, down the lanes of liquid music made, one sickening reminder of the farce waylaid, chaffins all in silos and in fatal eyeing loops, till all who listen carefully get self-tricked. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, since you weren't there for the last one, you get to lead this one.
I'm sorry. I had to take over the world. I couldn't be here for a simple poem. Jeez.
Oh, the cow patties are speaking again, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you just need a little focus assist. Just need a little focus assist. It's okay. I get it.
All right. Well, you know, I thought this was great. Wonderful title, The Century Street, the idea of guardians. I thought it was a brilliant trip of surrealism in imagery. And I like how it feels like it's about being caught in the moment of released emotions and how those emotions sometimes overtake and overwhelm. I particularly like now down the deviled nucleus of flowers, there flows a breveled tiredness of towers, hot-headed nonsense, reven in the scathe of jaded parents set in wardened graves and never ever traded but inside the styles. You know, it just feels like the idea of anger being awakened. I do like the phrase, so down the lanes of liquid music made. Being the idea of liquid music is just, it's so beautiful and so, it's just a trip. It's a wonderful trip. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Fallon, how about you?
I knew you were coming to me. Hold on, I'm sorry. somebody's been like texting me like crazy. And I was like, I'm on a podcast. Can you please just wait? Can you wait? But what I liked about this is the serenity street, the sky, the upland is scoured, now reflects the promise of an hour. I think it's basically it's just like the day. You know, we're offered the day, and then you know the seeds of life, even through the springs and the nucleus of the flowers and such. How we evolve from that, and then it goes on to the nonsense of the riven of the scathe and the jaded parents set in the wayward grave. It's basically saying, you know, not everybody's going to have the right, not everybody's going to be guided the right way down in life, and not everybody's going to have the perfect family life or have everything that everybody else has. Not everybody's going to be served things on a silver spoon, and yet it's you just have to basically take it what it is. And when he says here, it says, where'd it go? Of wicked women fading through red smiles. You know, that they paint their lips and they're just offering you something to get. They've got an ulterior motive at the end of the day. And our sickening reminder that the forest waylit, the chafings of the silos and the fatal iron lips. Basically, it's just saying that, you know, not everybody is what they say they are, and there is evilness and there is trickery going on. So you've got to pick and choose which and what direction you're going to go. So there's a lot of layers to this. Excellent, right?
Thank you, Phil. And Dex, how about you?
You know, and I apologize if I'm way off, but this is always kind of the way that I kind of interpret things is a little bit off and different. I feel like the making of a woman of the night or a prostitute, and, you know, this is Century Street. I feel like within this one, is the actions of a woman and or maybe a man, I guess, but it's kind of working for money, you know, but of wicked women fading through red smiles on the lanes of liquid music made. There's just pieces of this one that just seem like it has something to do a little bit with women that are working the streets. So very well done. I thought it was very intriguing.
Thank you, Dex. And Gene, how about you? Arr. No? Yes? Oh, Gene, where you at?
I muted you. I was wondering why you were talking like that. Oh, my God, I need my head examined. Oh, don't tell anybody that. That's between just us. I thought this was a well-penned piece by Jim. Great imagery. And there's an anger of sorts that seems to run through this piece. Like that whole second stanza just has this, I don't know. I think it's anger. I guess it could be something different, but the wording in that is just, you know, kind of on that edge. Hot-headed nonsense driven in the scathe of jaded parents set in warden graves and never, ever traded but inside the styles of wicked women fading through red smiles. You know, there's just a lot to that, and I think that, he definitely, there's an attitude there. That's what I'm going to say, an attitude. Yeah. So great job, Jim Bellamy, for sharing with us.
Nice, Jim, thank you. Old. I'm going to walk a little bit along your lines. This reminds me of, because of how he's opened it, this century street, this sky to blandness scoured, now reflects the promise of an hour, and like reflections, pushes out all grapes, till flavor shows within an empty city lake. And then the bottom end of this, now down the devil nucleus of flowers, there flows the Breville tiredness of towers. I like that, the Breville tiredness of towers. I'm guessing it's coffee weariness. The idea of spending a life within these grand epistle of towers, so to speak, these grand allusions to upper endeavors in the cityscape. The hot-headed nonsense kind of hits on the notion of boardrooms or angry workers inside the great towers to begin with. Jaded parents set in warden graves kind of hit the notion of spending so much time at work as you put your parents in nursing homes and never ever traded but inside the styles. That notion of always picking up the newest thing to gravitate to, whether it's the $100 haircuts or you got to have the Prada shoes, all that crap. And then the wicked women fading through red smiles, the farce waylaid. That can all represent those towers to begin with. And the back end, you get chastened at all in silence and in fatal eyeing lips. To all who listen carefully get self-tricked. The fatal eyeing lips, those who lie to get you produce what they want from you, and then you actually get tossed out on your ass because you were foolish enough to believe in that farce to begin with. It's nothing but a game for the rich to play with, and that means taking from those who produce. I like this. Nicely done, Jim. Thank you. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okay, dokie. Well, the next piece I have is for Pam Ray. So, Pam Ray, if you could read that for me, I would appreciate it.
All right. This is The Melodies of May, and it goes like this. I'm falling beyond reason in the shelter of your eyes where planets keep on spinning towards dripping midnight skies, a milk and honey paradise where gardens are displayed, carvings made of risen bronze, the art of flesh conveyed, endless thoughts of birdsong in the moonlight of our trance, a river through the valley connecting nature's dance, dreams that beg tomorrow, sweetest beauty of today, the scent of wild clover within melodies of May. Skipping on stepping stones where love is more than just a song, where fairies flutter to and fro and giants reverberate the gong. Our tea is made of ginger, steeped in thoughts of light, and every kiss of knowing bliss guides us through the night. So take me to your throne room where my spirit knows your flame. We are the waking wilderness that never will be tamed. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Gene, we're going to lead to you. And you don't have to be fearful of this one.
I have to be fearful of this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. There's chairs or knives or any kind of stuff like the axes. You know, you never know what she's going to pull out next. But no, this is a lovely one, lovely right, Pam. Yeah, The Melodies of May. It's even got a really relaxed kind of title to it, Pam. You feeling okay? It's like one stream to the other. I like it. She covers all the spectrum.
Yeah.
Mrs. Nobby.
That's right. That'll bring all the personalities out.
And this one's name is? Just saying. No, really. This is a wonderful piece. I love the, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's pretty. I love it. I'm flowing beyond reason in the shelter of your eyes, where planets keep on spinning towards dripping midnight skies. A milk and honey paradise where gardens are displayed, carvings made of risen bronze, the art of flesh conveyed. Beautiful, beautiful lines. I mean, and I could have just kept reading, but, you know, I'd have to take myself, put myself on mute to do that, because I think it would be mad at me. But just a really wonderfully written piece. And I love it. I really do. Wow. Our tea is made of ginger. Oh, my God. Don't get me going. I really could just read the whole thing. I love it. I love the rhyme. I love the theater. I love the imagery.
Gene, did you say something?
Don't get fresh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
I hurt you, Jack.
Tuesday.
What now?
Boy. And on that note, thank you, Gene. Dex, why don't you talk then? What'd you think?
No, that was an absolutely beautiful comment, Gene. I agree with her completely. I thought Pam had maybe fallen over tonight and bonked her head. You know, the melodies of May, you know, this is just such a lovely poem. And about somebody just absolutely falling in love with someone, and dreams that beg tomorrow. You know, when you fall in love, it's like you look forward to tomorrow, and that's the sweetest beauty of today. I mean, there's so much deep lines that are in this that are just rooted in just absolute being in complete awe and just love with the person that you're with. I thought that this was an amazing write, Pam. Very well done.
Thank you very much.
Nice, thanks. And Phil, what you got for us?
I'm with Phil. What happened to you? I think somebody needs to make sure you don't have a finger over here. I'm like, where's the whips and chains and the, you know, piece of shit and da 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 da. I'm looking for all that, but no, this is just something that is savory on the tongue. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, just stunning. And what really spoke to me the most is "Skipping on stepping stones, where love is more than just a song, where fairies flutter to and fro and giants reverberate the gong." But to me, this is not just about falling in love with someone. This is about the simplicity of life, and that it doesn't need any enhancement, that is already beauty that we have before us. And, it's, you know, when seasons change, it puts makeup on each time. Each season puts its own makeup on and shows, you know, and beautifies its face. And that's like a relationship. When we first get into a relationship, you know, we're smitten and, you know, over someone, and we will do all these little things. And yet the ones that we're meant to be with, you will keep doing those things, and you'll keep changing your face and making it pretty for them. So this is just, I mean, the words is just, I mean, just flows beautifully. And I think I'm going to nominate this for a front page pick because it's well-deserving. Excellent, excellent light.
Well, thank you very much. And don't worry,
I'll bring
the whips and chains. I will bring the whips and chains next week when I write a song parody for Rex to sing.
Okay, well, then you have to put my name in. Make him say my name. Make him say my name. That'll be perfect.
That's a rough damn crowd, I got to say.
Great comments, everybody. And since you all went gaga, I guess I'm going to have to do the bad end of this, huh? Damn, y'all suck. Anyway. this reminds me, it does remind me of one thing. Sweet dreams are made of these, and you could add this in as that notation. But there was a couple of things. Not only did you write this, but you were also sipping on that ginger tea, milk, and honey paradise, for one thing. But I do like that third from the bottom stanza, skipping on stepping stones, where love is more than just a song, where fairies flutter to and fro and giants reverberate the gong. There's a double or maybe a triple thought within that giants reverberate the gong, because what's he reverberating the gong with, first off? What's the gong reference to? And also, back 120 odd years ago, there used to be a group of people who were called the gong farmers. They were the ones that were cleaning out the outhouse loos, shoveling lots of shit, so to speak. So,
interesting.
Which gong are we referring to?
There was that 19, what is it, what was decade was that song from, Bang the Gong?
Oh, 1972, that. Bang the Gong, Get It On.
Yeah, Bang the Gong, Get It On.
I was 1 year old.
Thank you for the comment, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration. I hate to disappoint you, but it really was just a somewhat simple love poem. So, you know.
I had to ask about the gong. It was too easy. Nobody can go around offering up gong without me asking, hey, you know about the gong farming, don't you?
I'm going to shut up on that one.
I don't know about the gong fathers, no.
You do now.
No, I do now. I learned something new.
I think I'm too young for this conversation.
They got paid very well, because sometimes they died in that soupy morass.
I think I'm entirely too young for this kind of conversation.
Jeez, all right, geez. Where do we go now?
I don't know. I lost my whole train of thought with you guys. God, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I'm only kidding. I know right where I want to be right now. That's not what. Okay, Felon. I'm
right here with us.
For you, if you don't mind.
What's that? She wants to be right here with us.
What'd she say?
You and I belong together.
Wait. I need some focus assist, please. Focus assist.
I'm focusing.
Focus assist.
Okay.
Focus. Damn, you're really falling apart there.
Linda.
I need you. Oh, my God. Okay, Felon, your poem is up. Whenever you're ready.
Here we go. This is by Felon. It's called Deep Seated Night. Scorched expectations form the constellations, outlining skin's own manipulation. Physics won't define logic, and gratification preaches reason of demonic. Gravity unsuspended of off hallucinations after ingesting stars fermenting desires, intoxication. Temptations bloom, resonates a perfume from reality's decay, and inhibition exhume. End poem.
Great read, Phil. Thank you very much. All right, Cam, we're going to start with you.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Felon. As always, just an excellent brevity with just powerful imagery and metaphors, hard-hitting. This brought to my mind the idea of temptations that bring the mind beyond reality. But it's also the poison of ourselves, the way some people poison themselves and other people with their thoughts. This is great all the way through, but it's the second and third stanzas that really speak to me. Physics won't define logic, and gratification preaches reason of demagogic. Gravity suspended off hallucination after ingesting stars fermenting desires intoxication. The idea of how our desires for only ourselves tend to poison our humanity. So excellent write and very well done.
Gold Star again.
Thank you, Pam. Nicely said. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Pam, and this is a great write, you know, about our lust kind of, you know, leading the charge. You know, physics won't define logic, and it's just our body. So it's what's crazy is that our body gets so caught up in this search for sensory, you know, kind of a lust thing. It's that you're not really recognizing the totality of it. You know, you can easily become intoxicated, as Fallon says, by this entire process. And it's just a very well done piece, and it had an impeccable rhyme and flow as usual.
All right. Thank you, Dex. And Gene, how about you?
This is brevity meets brevity.
Absolutely.
Deep-seated night. Yes, absolutely. Fallon shrunk it down even more. I mean, I don't know. Very good at that. I think you should leave it out of the dryer next time. It's an intriguing take on the prompt. You know, scorch expectations form the constellations outlining skin zone manipulation. Physics won't define logic, and gratification preaches reason for demagogia. Just, I don't know, just a really cool take on the prompt all the way around. As I say, you know, you condensed it even more in thought. So I think that that in itself is kind of amazing. Temptations bloom, resonates perfume from reality. I don't know, there's a whole lot going on in here, Fallon. A whole lot. And
there's a lot going on in my head.
What's that? What'd you say?
I just have a lot going on in my head all the time.
I tell you, it makes me tired trying to keep up.
Me too.
No, so
think about the little gerbil on my wheel. He's wore out.
Yeah, great take on that prompt, though, for real. I think it's
thank you.
Pretty incredible. So, nice work.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. All right, I got it. Gratification preaches reason of demagogia. Kind of hits me with the thought of increased levels of serotonin because you roll right into gravity suspended off hallucinations, walking on air within your own privacy of your own thoughts after ingesting stars. Fermenting desires, intoxication, feeding in on yourself, so to speak. The temptation blooming resonates with a particular perfume from reality's decay, that which is rotting from the inside out, as the inhibitions are now on full display because they were once pushed aside and deep down within, but with the inhibitions lost, they're free to exhume, and all of a sudden you become that that thing that you know not of, but you can actually feel and understand in the moment because you're flying high. Too much serotonin.
Well, yeah, you and Pam were like hit it pretty much. It's basically like the scorch expectations. You know, we have expectations of people, but we don't share them with someone else. We build these things up in our head, so that's like the stars and the dreams. They kind of get scorched, and, you know, they kind of get a little too burnt out. And then the outlining of our own, we want to feel a certain thing, but yet at the same time, we're not telling the other person. And physics is, here it is. This is, you know, this is where it's at. And the logic is saying, you might want to let these people know what you're thinking. If not, you're preaching the same demagogic thing of trying to get people to believe something that's not there, and then, you know, gravity suspended on your own hallucinations of what you think that you're getting out of this relationship or this coming together, and reality is it's all about sex, lust, whatever, and all your inhibitions that are exhumed is a decay that you let get buried and die. So don't put something into something unless you're going to express it and get a commitment from both. If not, then you're just going to scorch your own expectations in the end. So that's what it's about.
Cool. Thank you, Phil. All All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. I have one for Dexter. Dexter!
Ooh. That sounds like a threat.
No.
It does.
Sounds like Gene being out there.
Oh,
life or death. All right, I'll read it. If it means I can live.
Whenever you're ready.
No,
Jack.
Actually, you got to pass me on this one. Actually, you got to pass me on this one. I got something going on
okay.
in the room right now.
No problem. I guess I'll read this one while you take care of things going on in the room right now. Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. Hidden Out in the Open by Poetic Creation. Hydrostatic dynamics, black diamonds, and laughing gas. Cradle of stars, nebula, wide black blushing. Neutron anomalies, 10 solar masses in this star class. They've collapsed, yet they're still crushing. Spinning axis, gravity shifts spun round its iron core. Swirling atoms splitting in a nuclear storm. Photons escape, but many more are prisoners of war. Dark matter evolves to take invisible form. The universe has many eyes that belong to creatures, many creatures all with unique features. Our universe is an eye of a creature left unidentified, far beyond a cosmic horizon. It yet hides. Traversing the past eye of the storm, supernovas blast, fundamental elements, seedlings from ash. Green things grow reaching towards stars long past, while we build memories certain not to last. Lightning strikes plasma, flashes on the sun's surface. Coronal masses, ejections, reflection of angry face. Burning inside is the cancer stage for catharsis. Yet I yield not to vacuum nor compression in space. End poem.
Great read there, Gene. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, I thought this was a great write. It had a wonderful rhyme and flow, great imagery. My written comment was that it was this write on the idea of a life that soars and mingles around and above us. And going by the title and the write itself, Hidden Out in the Open, it's that life that we don't take notice of, the little details in the sky, in nature itself. I really particularly like traversing the past eye of the storm, supernovas blast, fundamental elements, seedlings from ash, green things grow, reaching towards stars long past, while we build memories certain not to last. Those lines also touch on the temporary nature of our lives while we leave, at the same time, we leave an imprint behind. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dean, how about you?
Geez Louise, I get to read it at the last minute and then you come to me first or second for a comment? X, what have I done to you? Never mind. I don't want to talk about it. We're done. I thought that there was, I agree with Pam, what she said. I'm just kidding. But I thought it was great imagery in this piece and nice rhyming meter. I thought it was the descriptions of what really happens up in the sky, that big dark space above us, I think it was just nicely described to all of us. And we really don't think about it much because so much happens that we don't see. And I think that was pretty clever. And, and an interesting and intriguing take on the prompt. Fallon took the prompt. It was a brevity anyway and condensed it some more. And PC took that prompt that was a brevity and expanded on it in a great fashion. So well done, PC, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Thank you, Gene. And absolutely, I like the whirlwind thought that he's invoked in this because it does speak of that which happens in the heavens, the condensing of his forms into a black hole mass that sucks everything into it, as well as the thought of a supernova blast the plasma splashes on the sun's surface. Everything works well as that cosmic notation of what happens out there. But he's condensed it down into a singular thought of that which reflects a person. Coronal mass ejections, reflections of an angry face. Burning inside is this cancerous stage 4 catharsis. Yet, I yield not to vacuum nor compression in space. Kind of hits on that idea on the back end of this of not giving in to the pressure from outside sources, other people, thereby emblazoning them with full mass coronal ejection and crushing them with whatever he might do in that moment, so to speak. So this is, I like the abstract thought of taking the universe as a whole and running it down into a singular human form who's holding back the urge. Nicely done, PC. All right, we're coming back to you, G.
Okay, Rex, I'm kicking this next one over to you by Dan Dishino, so whenever you're ready.
All right.
Okie dokie.
Where'd you put it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought. Oh, I did. Oh, wait. Maybe I should hit that button. There we go.
Oh, there it is.
Look now.
Drums
oh
and
God.
Space. Daniel Dishino. A journey ceases moving and no longer is to be when home is just an abstract fading memory. There is nothing but stars, and I am within spatial obscurity with no point to begin. Astral traveler walking starship ground on a flight through forever and among infinity found. Between the birth of everything and the collapse of it all, the surrealist of the end is a traveler's call. Only the darkest stars leave a hole in the night, a chance for escape, the purpose of flight. So beyond the sacred of all I have read, with immortality starlight, are them gratefully dead. And poem. I like the end of that one. Nicely touched on, Dan. Thank you. Dex, what do you think? Are you back?
I thought that this was fantastic. I feel like this is about a drummer that is practicing other drummers' work and having an appreciation for other artists. Usually you want to think about, the spatial obscurity with no point to begin. It's almost like, you hear that other drummer that's like, next door or something, you can hear it banging, and it's almost like the purpose of it is that, you want to hear other people go, you're getting better or something like that. But it's like, this is somebody that has space and has the room to grow, and can they deal with that? And so this is a fantastic, right?
I like that, Dex. Thank you. Phil, how about you?
Well, I have a different take on it. What really just slapped me upside my forehead is where it says this here. It says, only the darkest stars leave a hole in the night, a chance for escape, the purpose of flight. So beyond the sacred of all I've read, with immortality starlight, are the gratefully dead. And that's basically, you're not ever there's a million stars in the sky, but you single out that one. Sometimes you got to bust out and kill the thing that you think it makes that is you, that makes you ordinary or that can be just seen within the constellation of whatever. But in order to be seen as an individual star, the light that you are, you have to bust out, even if it's in the darkness, everything that it is to get to where you are, that you are what you really want to be, and you can shine and show your talents. Because it says, a journey ceases moving and no longer is to be, when the home is just an abstract fading memory. And we all start off from home, and sometimes our views of our parents and days, their traditions is not the same as what we want to be. And it's okay. You can be you. Being, you can be an individual, have your own life and have your own views in life and go down the journey you want. You don't always have to stay in the sky with everybody else. You can kind of you can bust out it. You don't always have to be like up there shining. Sometimes you got to be a little dark. So, excellent, right?
Thanks, Val. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I was glad to see that Dan was inspired. Wonderful imagery in this. A perfect title for him, Drums in Space, and she's a drum player. You know, I really like how this takes us along on a ride on the twisting, turning wings of music and time. I thought the end especially was a great nod to the Grateful Dead. So beyond the sacred of all I have read, within mortality, starlight, are the gratefully dead. There's a definite spiritual tone to this also, and I like the mention of astral traveler walking starship ground on a flight through forever and among infinity found. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I have to agree with Dex before I say anything else. That's a brevity for Dan. Full-blown poem in front of us. And he did a great job, you know, working in with the brevity of the song itself. But I thought it was a nice piece, a great take on that prompt. Wonderful imagery and excellent rhyme. Top-notch tribute, to say the least. So well done, Dan, and thank you so much for sharing that with these great additions to the show tonight. Absolutely.
Nice. I think that note to Drums in Space, Dex hit on, there is that notation that there are points when you sit and play where the drums take a little bit of a hiatus before they kick up the pace again. So other parts of the musical interlude can actually breathe in the moment, and then the drums come back kicking in with the next piece to be delved into. So I like that thought. And the middle of this was where I liked. Astral traveler walking starship ground on a flight through forever and among infinity found between the birth of everything and the collapse of it all. The surrealist of the end is a traveler's call. Kind of has me thinking of the background music of the song itself, and also the starship thought had me thinking of Yes's Starship Trooper, great song, and the surrealist of the end is a traveler's call. Kind of the trip within the music itself, that chance for escape, the hole in the night. So beyond the sacred of all I have read within mortality, starlight, I wasn't expecting all the gratefully dead, which was a nice finish there, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, where did I go to you?
Okie dokie. Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is for Pam. So, Pam, if you'd be so kind as to read this regarding the light. Or Dark Star of Magic.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. All right. So, Dark Star Imagined by Garden Delights. The world of logic that we knew is no longer ragged. Burnt edges have shredded far from their foundations. Seething cauldrons of noxious gases pockmark uneven ground. Eruptions have carved deep crevices, alternating with blackened mounds, ashes of indeterminate origin. Disturbed, we quickly move on. A silken cloak of stars descends, bringing their pearl lustrous lights closer, flickering like fireflies. As they swing down to us, illuminated is a crystalline woman, tending her glass garden. An astonishing sight, we do not disturb her, but instead set out for the path illumination has revealed. After a difficult crossing, we sought refuge inside the lady in Velvet's chapel, wondering if we had seen her this night. Sheltering there, we leave on the offering table our request for aid in surviving. Within this bleak landscape, may she grant our hopes, expanding our dreams, seeing us home, and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you?
I knew you were going to do that. I did. I thought this was a beautiful piece by Garden Delight. Absolutely. I think there was a lot of really great lines. And throughout, gosh, you know, a silken cloak of stars descend, bringing their pearl bluster slates closer, flickering like fireflies. And I like another, as they swing down to us, illuminated is a crystalline woman tending her glass garden, an astonishing sight. We do not disturb her. It's just great imagery, a really well-told story of sorts. And I think it was an intriguing piece all the way through. Yeah, and a great take on the prompt. I think that she really really hit on the notes of it. So nicely done, Garden Delight, and thanks for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Jean. Dex, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know if my take is legit on this. I thought that this was beautiful. I thought that this was an incredible write. I had the inclination and kind of the feeling is this was kind of a self love kind of piece or kind of a masturbation piece, and I could be wrong, completely wrong, but I thought that this was an incredible write, so very well done.
All right, thank you, Dex. And Gables, how about you?
Well, I think it's a take on Mother Nature in itself, because it states here, you know, the seething cauldrons of nitrous gas and the pockmarked of uneven ground. And to me, that's basically with the eruption of volcanoes that it comes, and then it goes into the, because it's a disturb, we quickly move on, because you actually do. And the silken cloak of stars descend, burning their pearls, lustrous light closer, flickering like fireflies. That's the stars of the, you know, stars of the night. And then when they go to the, and then as they swing down to us, illuminating the crystalline woman, seeing her glass garden. And that's her just basically overlooking over the world is, you know, the ozone. And then it goes, but instead set out the path of illuminated has revealed. Then it goes that it had taken refuge in the lady's velvet chapel, and that's the night, the chapel, the velvet of the night, the black velvet of the night. And then it says, wondering if she's seen her this night, sheltering there. We leave on an offering table our request for aiding and surviving. And that's just basically off the land, with everything that we are. And everything, any creature, as we depend on Mother Nature, because if she's not kind to us, we will starve to death and we will also die. So I think this is just hits home for me, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. There, Phil. Thank you. And Dale, how about you?
Yeah, I really like everyone's take on the prompt. This is a particularly powerful write. I mean, I always love Garden Delight's poetry, but I felt like this had a real deepness to it. And I, you know, I could be wrong, but, you know, to me, the lady represents hope. I thought it had brilliant imagery and metaphors. I thought it was the idea of being pulled into that land of darkness and then being brought into the light through guidance. I love the surrealism in this and the idea of how the journey can be a difficult one and yet so rewarding. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice, great comments, everybody. All right, I'm going to hit on those first two stanzas offer up a dark and bleak world, almost one that's been sitting in a note of a nuclear winter where there's been so much dust and detritus thrown into the atmosphere that one could no longer see the sun and the moon as they were. So when it's finally offered up, that silken cloak of stars descends, bringing their pearl lustrous light closer, flickering like fireflies. It's almost a new dawn being offered up there. And the moon itself, that crystalline woman tending her glass garden, is the full moon in its full representation. And the last man to walk in that note of finding hope once more that this world will see something beyond that which was offered up here. The world of logic that we knew is no longer. Ragged, burnt edges have shredded far from their foundations. And then the landscape with the noxious gases, pockmarks, the deep crevices. So nicely done, GD. Thank you. All right, Gene.
Okay.
We're back on you.
Okay, here's what we got. I got two phones left. I'm going to pass on the comments on these, so I'll leave a written comment. So, Felon, if you book a time for Betty Page, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely, I'll be honored to do that. And this is by Betty Page, and it's called Mystical Diamonds. Mystical Diamonds, illuminating sweetly, cascading romance, shimmering diamonds. Magnetic gazing, enhancing Polynesian bright rainbow sunset. Aquamarina waves were kissing mist, blue starlight, intertwined candlelight. Cruise to your bedroom. Take me any way you want, my divine master. Wickedly, vivid, I'm your sensual goddess, cherry rose petals. Bubbly pink champagne spills over me as a soft silk, sipping up your dream. So voluptuous, fantasies play in my mind. Come escape with me. End poem.
Great read, Fel. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you lead us off?
I thought this had beautiful imagery. I really like how Betty does sensual, especially lines, you know, like magnetic gazing, enchanting Polynesian bright rainbow sunsets, aquamarine waves were kissing mist, blue starlight, entwined candlelight. I really thought, of course, you know, she brings in the wickedness and the bubbly pink champagne, which are all classical elements. I do like, though, that she ends with fantasies play in my mind, come escape with me. So, you know, it gives that idea of, you know, dreaming about somebody and, you know, wanting to make those dreams a reality. So, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Pam hit on it very well. This is a fantastic write by Betty Page. Just very passionate, very metaphorical, you know, and also just very effective and, you know, kind of efficient. You know, there wasn't a wasted word within this one, but it bounced a lot between your senses, between the feelings and the colors and just everything. I thought that this was a very well done piece.
Thanks, Dex. And Bell, you got to read it. How about you?
I think she's sending out invitations, so people need to watch out or they need to take heed of her invitation. bubbly pink champagne spills over me as a soft silk sipping up your dream. Who wouldn't want to do that? Tell me. The so voluptuous fantasies play in my mind. Come escape with me. Why not? I think this is just it's an erotic, seductive rite, but yet at the same time, you know, she's looking for that diamond in the rough. You know, or both of them can be diamond in the rough. We can, you know, we can lay down together and press until we get that diamond. So it's up to you if we get the diamond or not. We can be cold or we can be the diamond. We'll find out. Come on over. Great rite, Petty Beach.
Walking about, grinding it into the good life there, Fowl. Thank you very much. Gene, we're back on you for the last one, I guess.
Okie doke, yep, and I'm going to ask Dex to read this one. And this is by Pee Wee Cousin, and its existence is my being. So whenever you're ready, Dex.
Okay, this is Pee Wee Cousin. Existence is my being. Logic and reason falling away. In some tattered grocery bags, precious stones you had ground up from these rags. And night's first sight has always demon to begin, allowed demon to begin, to train the next man to give destruction a woolly, new righteous hand. While all it falls away, you'll sing what he say. I am the meteor raining destruction on your land. I am the times that never in your hand. I am the for pestilence. I'm the pestilence that breeds the disease. I am the devastation that drops you to your knees. I am the agonizing demise of everything you've saved. I am the undertaker that's now digging your grave. I am the desiccation of the earth in the skies, in the stars and in the sky. When guilt is eating you, I'm the look in your eyes. What you'll see is your death in me. Run screaming through your life. Just flee. I will destroy you and all you have ever loved. Rain devastation down on you from above. I shall drink you, and while you die screaming, ending your existence is my being. End poem.
Great read there, Dex. And Phoebe went with the lines of reason captive, their forces tear loose from the axis. And Fel, why don't we kick it with you first?
She dropped, right?
Oh, okay. Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was a great write. It was strong with its imagery. It kind of had a whole sympathy for the devil vibe to it. It really spoke to me on the idea of a higher power that condemns the world to death and destruction, and perhaps and condemning it because of their own actions. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you there, Pam. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought that this was a strong write, powerful imagery throughout. And I wasn't finished with writing my comment, so I'm a little slow. So if you come back to me, I would be happy to give you maybe another line. But yeah, it was really well done.
Cool. Thank you, Gene. Dex, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I thought that this as a whole felt like almost like the Rolling Stone song, you know, pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name, you know, almost like this is the devil.
Yep.
I felt like this was Satan himself, and I thought that he embodied that in such a clever way. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. That opening stanza had me thinking of the birth of that this individual, so to speak, how he was made. And from then on down, they had a nice kind of a sing-song quality. I am the meteor raining destruction on your land. I am the time that's never in your hands. I am the pestilence that breeds the disease. I am the devastation that drops you to your knees. And it gives the whole retinue of who and what he is, and what you'll see is your death in me. Kind of that note to a fair warning. I'm bad. I'm bad for you. I'm bad for anything that ever comes near me. And the only thing that ever walks out from within my purview is crushing defeat, death, and turmoil. So it's kind of a warning to the ladies out there. You've created me. Now, if you don't wish to die, you best stay the hell away from me, because I'm alive. Thank you, Pee-wee. All right. All right. Great show, Gene. Thank you very much. And Felon, Pam, and Dex, thank you for joining us. And Robbie for the boards, appreciate it. This was quite the evening with some pointed poetry read. So I appreciate it. We'll do this all again next week, because next week is Weird Al Yankovic parodies. So have some fun.
There we go.
I thought we could use with a funny Sunday evening with some Weird Al stuff.
Amen. Amen. Great show, Rex. Great topic. Great choice of song. And yeah, really well done. Even my craziness. Anyway. Gotta laugh sometime, right? Okay, well, as far as I know, I think that is it.